Brother Paul, I have another question here for you. And the question is there, we talk about church and state coming together. Is there any evidence right now that that is happening more and more, that church and state is coming together?
Yes, Brother George. As a matter of fact, in our last election, there was a few local pastors right here in Nassau that posed some moral questions to our candidates that run in the past election. And they wanted to see, you know, how these candidates were going to weigh up with some of their questions. And as a matter of fact, some of them were on the record were saying that if these candidates don't answer these questions, they are not going to vote for them. And today, I don't know if they did not vote for them or not, because, you know, most people try to keep their voting private. But one of the questions that stood out of my mind that they asked the government how they would feel about it is a question with sexual offenses. And in that they say, I'm in favor of returning the age of consent to 18. I'm in favor of leaving the age of consent to 16. If others, please explain. You know, well, I was sort of taken aback with that question, because based on God's word, the age of consent is marriage. Yes, the government can pass a law say that at the age of 16 or 18 you can have sex, but based on God's word, the government should not do that. The government should not be encouraging people to have sex at a certain age. You know, would the government say no sex at all until you get married? Now, if the government want to come with a law to say that at the age of 16 or 18, if you have it before that, then we're going to arrest you, lock you, and that's a whole different ballgame. You know, but I think what the pastor should be in promoting is no sex at all. It should have been no sex, because the Bible definition of sex is marriage. Then they also write a one about capital punishment. I'm in favor of amending the Constitution of Bahamas to make it absolutely clear that capital punishment is a mandatory sentence of murder, bearing in mind that a jury would arrive at a murder conviction after giving consideration to circumstances that may point to manslaughter. That was the first part of the question. Next part of the question says, I'm in favor of abolishing the capital punishment law. But here again, the thing that hurts me with these ministers that push for capital punishment is capital punishment was given for a whole list of stuff in the Bible. For an example, I said earlier when the young man that was supposed to have Nebuchadnezzar over this vision, those men should have been, according to the Bible principle, those men should have been stoned to death. For example, there's an example in the Bible where a young man went picking up sticks on the Bible. He was stoned to death. There's also examples in the Bible that if you were caught committing adultery, you should be stoned to death. So if you want to bring back one part of the capital punishment, then we should bring back all parts of the capital punishment. Now, how much people would be in favor of that? But the good news is, when capital punishment was in effect, we were under what is known as a theocracy government, where God ordered the punishment and the murder of those people that were killed. It wasn't something the prophet take upon himself and he just did it because God used to give the order, kill this one, kill that one, wipe out this nation, because God knew that they had went beyond the point of return. See, only God knows that. And I can assure you, you can hang as much young men as you want to. It's not going to get better. Jesus is quite clear in Matthew 24 that it will not get better. So my heart goes to the young men on death row tonight. If you don't know the Lord, seek him while he may be found. God loves you. And the good news is, he can forgive you. The good news is, the young person who you murdered, there's good news for them too. If they die knowing Jesus Christ, they're going to rise again. And the good news is, you and them may be sitting around the banquet table when Jesus Christ comes. Because neither of you will go to heaven if you can't forgive each other. And this is why it's so touchy dealing with this capital punishment thing. You cannot go to heaven if you hate your brother or your sister. Remember, the Bible says sin will not arise a second time. So if you can't forgive your brother because they offended you, then you're not going to heaven. And here we are today, we have a lot of stuff that are going on. Just on Saturday night on CNN, in America, they were concerned about running out of gas. So what are they doing? They're growing acres and acres of corn because they want to come up with this new technology of gas. On the weekend, you know, something went wrong with the Prime Minister's headquarters, the PLP headquarters. They're, you know, either they had a shortage or something burned down or whatever, however it happened. You know, and people are raw about that. Then just before the election, the Minister of National Security, our new Minister of National Security, Mr. Tommy Turnquist, someone made an attempt to try to burn down his headquarters. Then one of our former PM, ministers of the government, someone shoot through the glass of his campaign headquarters. Then the labor unions are in uproar. So what's going on here? Think, for instance, the labor unions. You know, I don't think no Christian should be in the labor union. And why am I saying that? Jesus is quite clear that he will fight your battles for you, Christians. If you love your neighbor as you love yourself, I want you to think about this question. If you're in the labor union and you love your neighbor as you love yourself, remember the other day, Bahamas Air took a strike. There were people in Miami who wanted to come home, but they couldn't come because Bahamas Air was on strike. There are people at the Linden Pinland Airport who wanted to go to Miami and they couldn't go because they were on a strike. Suppose that was a life and death situation. And because those persons missed their doctor's appointment, would you say you love your neighbors, you love yourself? No, God is quite clear that He will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. And even right now, as we speak tonight, the labor unions are turning the heat up on the new government. They're trying to twist the government arms. But you know, just sit back. Pray to the Lord. He knows what you need. He has promised that He will not put more than you can bear. And I assure you, He will work it out. I'm sure that many union members can testify tonight who maybe used to be a part of the union, who are not a part of the union anymore, and God is working things out for them. We also have problems going on at the Billy May Pratt School for Girls. What's going on there? You know, only God knows. Excuse me. But all these signs are telling us that Jesus is on the way. And what are we trying to fill the void of it? Just on last week past, the Just Rush Young Canoe event was canceled. But I praise the Lord. You know, because I used to go to these events, and these events don't glorify God. Then I hear now we're having Crab Fest, and we're having Conch Fest. When the Bible says these things are an abomination, you shouldn't be eating these things. All of these things, ladies and gentlemen, don't do nothing. Does it glorify the Lord? Does it fulfill 1 Corinthians 10:31? For wherever you eat, whatsoever you drink, do all to the honor and glory of God. Do these three events, will these pass the test of 1 Corinthians 10:31? Just Rush, Crowd Fest, Conch Fest? I dare not say yes, ladies and gentlemen. And I assure you, these events are reaping havoc on our country, and yet even around the world. These events are known to be events where people go to do all sorts of things. God is not being glorified at these events. And I assure you, if people just put aside some of these things that we love doing as Christians, and Christians participate in these things, it'd be okay if it was just the world. But Christians sometimes suck up to these things. And now today, we as Christians are losing the power. And what we want to do to try to generate the power? We want to use force. We want to twist the government's arm to do what we think should be done. And by so doing, we think it's going to bring a good result. But history has shown it will not. It will only bring chaos. And it will always bring chaos. And that's what's going to happen according to Revelation chapter 13 before time in the morning.
If you want to participate in our discussion this afternoon, give us a call at 325-5403, 325-5405, or those of you in the family of violence, give us a call toll free at 1-242-300-8255. Please feel free to give us a call. We're waiting for your call. We want you to participate. We're going until 11 o'clock, looks like. So please feel free to give us a call. And we want to apologize for those of you who might have been listening to us for 8 o'clock. But we had some technical difficulties in the studio. And they were not solved until about 9 o'clock. So we'll be going until, I think, 11 o'clock here at ZNet. So give us a call. Tell us what you think. Participate in our poll, our mini poll. And the mini poll is, do you believe in church and state separation? Now, if you just want to participate in the poll, you can do that. You don't have to leave your name or your telephone number. Just answer one question, and that is, do you believe in church and state separation? You will not even be on the air. So you can call and just talk to one of our producers, and they will take the information from you. And we will get that information back at the end or close to the end of the program. Brother Paul, does the Bible say what specific laws might be passed in this new, as this church and state come together? Or is it haphazard? We're not sure. We don't know. Brother Paul?
It's going to be centered around worship, Brother Julian. You know, Jesus had a lot to say about worship. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said there are some people worshiping Him in vain because they're teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And when Revelation 13 comes into a full effect, it says, those who don't worship the beast and his image, they will not be able to buy or sell. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 14, it gives a warning that we should not worship the beast or his image. In Revelation 14:9, it says, and the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same should drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured without mixture into his cup of his indignation. And he should be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. When that takes place, when this Bible prophecy is fulfilled, it's going to be chaos upon the earth. And this is going to be brought on by Christians. This is going to be when the Christians are going to tell the government to pass laws to make people do that which is right. As a matter of fact, there's a minister in America by the name of Pat Robinson. Pat Robinson have a book by the name of Reclaiming the Blessings of the Ten Commandments. And in that book, he's right now pleading with the government. He wants to see the days of old come back when they had what on the book called the Blue Laws. When the Blue Laws, in effect, you would have been arrested if you find doing anything on Sunday. So he wants those laws to come back into effect, where people will be prosecuted for doing anything on Sunday but going to church. And that's what he says in his book. And he says, Sunday is the Sabbath day. And that's where we're heading, ladies and gentlemen. We're heading to where they're going to try to enact laws to enforce Sunday worship. And if you don't do it, you will be killed. As a matter of fact, there are many ministers, too many to name tonight, who are right now pushing for Sunday legislation, where they want Sunday to be kept holy by law. Not just by freedom of choice. If you want to, you follow. If you don't want it, you don't have to follow. They want a law legislated by the government. And once that law is legislated, if you don't obey, the same penalties that were upon people in the old days under the Blue Law, they want that law to come back into effect. And when that takes place, it would not be business as usual. And what is this going to be all about? They say, if this should happen, people will find themselves in churches and they will give their hearts to Jesus. But can you legislate the heart changing of a man? If you legislate that a man must go to church, will that change his heart, even if he goes to church? If you legislate a man cannot have sex with his wife because you pass a law, will that stop him from wanting to have sex with his wife? No, ladies and gentlemen, only God can change the heart. And don't mind how much we, as a matter of fact, we have laws here in the Bahamas that you should not run the red light. And you've got some young men, they don't care nothing about the red light, they just run straight through. Why? It's a heart problem. We have young men tonight, you know, sad to say, sitting on death row. Someone just rubbed them the wrong way, and they got a gun or they got a knife or whatever, and they just did what they have to do. Why? Because someone rubbed them the wrong way. But if they allow the Holy Spirit to subdue their heart, if they had allowed to God to lead them all the way, they would have not have done what they did. And tonight they are sitting in the prison cell, you know, and I'm sure they're saying, boy, if I had a chance to do it all over again, I wouldn't do it this way. It's a heart problem. And tonight, once again, the Lord is asking all of us to give him our hearts, and he will give us a heart of flesh. And when we get a heart of flesh, we do things only that will glorify the Father.
2020 presents, Church and State, Should They Unite? Religious Freedom, Religious Liberty. What do you say? To participate in our conversation this afternoon, we ask you to give us this evening, sorry. My producer is telling me this evening and not afternoon. But this evening, give us a call at 325-5403, 325-5404, 325-5405, or you can give us a call toll free from the Family of Ireland at 1-242-300-8255. We'd also like for you to call in and participate in our mini poll, and that is, do you believe in church and state separation? You don't have to get on the air to participate in our little poll, but we'll be grateful for all of you who call in and let us know what you think. Like I said, if you participate in the poll, you don't have to get on the air. But we'd like for you to participate and ask questions for those of you who might have questions or comments concerning what you're hearing tonight. Please, give us a call. Let us know what you think. Brother Paul, if you know that this thing is coming to pass, that church and state is going to unite, why does it seem as if you kind of preaching against it, teaching against it, admonishing people not to get involved? What is your motivation in that regard?
It is a message given to all ministers of the gospel in Revelation chapter 14, the three angels' messages. The first angel is telling people to worship the Creator, who created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. The second angel is warning that Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's Revelation 14:8. And then the third angel, as I quoted a little while ago in Revelation 14:9, they talk about they should not worship the beast nor his image. And the two parts of the message is considered worship. Those in verse 6 are worshiping the Creator. Those in verse 9 are worshiping the beast and his image. Now, if you ask most people tonight what that beast and image represent, they will not be able to tell you. And this show will not allow us to, you know, really go through it, to make it clear. But if you want to know who the beast will be found in Revelation chapter 13, verse 6. And talk about the man, the beast is a man, and his number is 666. So, in Revelation 15, 2 tell you that name will be found in the number of his, the name will be found in the number of his name in Revelation 15, 2. So, the warning is out there. And the sad part about it says, he maketh all nations. So, all nations will be affected. So, the gospel needs to go forward while the opportunity is there to preach it, to fulfill Matthew 24, where the gospel should preach to the whole world for a witness. All would not be saved, but it must go forward for a witness, and you must be faithful to the call given to you by Jesus Christ to preach the gospel. There are not too many tonight who want to preach the gospel. They want to preach another gospel, and that another gospel is going to cause us to be lost at the end of time. Just the other day I found on the internet, I found where you can actually buy a Bible warning label. And what is it saying? Warning: literal belief in this book, referring to the Bible, may endanger your health and your life. Is that true? It's just on the contrary. Many people have picked up the Bible on the verge of chaos and their lives are totally changed. But this bumper sticker is saying just the opposite. I told you on Sunday on our radio program that there's a young man that has this book out, a bestseller, and his book is entitled God Is Not Great: How Religion is poisoning Everything. Is that true? Is religion poisoning everything? I dare not say yes. No, ladies and gentlemen. If there was no religion, imagine what this world would be like. It would be chaos for real. Definitely we would not want to be living here if there was no religion, if there was no God to serve. But Isaiah tells us clearly in Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Matthew 4, 3 and 4, Jesus, when tempted of the devil, he said, man shall live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Tonight, men want to live on the bread, the literal bread, but they don't want the spiritual bread. And what are we reaping? A good success? No, we are reaping a poor success. And who are we calling for? We're calling to the government. When Jesus says, put not your trust in princes, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and lean not your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct their path. And where are we heading? We are heading to the fulfillment of Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Behold, the day cometh, said the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine for bread, nor a thirst for water, but for a hearing of the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even unto the east, and they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. That day is just around the corner, when people will be looking for the word of the Lord to find out which way to turn, and it will be too late, for the preaching of the gospel would have been no more.
But Paul, as we look at the election, not only here in the Bahamas, but also across the waters in the United States, we see that politicians are getting a little friendly with the church, and we see also the church wanted to get in politics. Is there any good in this, and or bad in the two of these groups seeming to come together?
Reverend Julian, my heart goes out to ministers of the gospel who want to get in politics. You know, when Jesus started his earthly ministry and he began to look for disciples, he told them, I'm going to make them fishers of men. He didn't mention anything with them trying to get involved in politics. And that's what Jesus called all the ministers of the gospel for tonight, to be fishers of men, not fishers of politics. I mean, as a matter of fact, men and Christians can be politicians. So why is it the minister of the gospel want to leave the gospel to go involved in politics, when he is called to preach the gospel in season and out of season? If he is called to preach the gospel in season and out of season, where's the season in between there for politics? It covers the whole wide scheme of his mandate. That when we are in season, the gospel should be preached by him or her, and when it's out of season, the gospel should be preached by him or her. Because we could also have women preachers and teachers, but being ordained is a whole different ballgame. I don't know why women decide to get ordained when the Bible does not tell them they should be ordained to preach the gospel. The Bible says he gives some evangelists, some teachers, some preachers for the perfection of the saints. Then there are a lot of ministers of the gospel who study their Bibles and they take on the name Reverend. When Psalms 111 verse 9 says Reverend Holy is God's name. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, why is it that they say they study the Bible, they're using the Bible as their manual, but they don't want to follow the principles of the Bible. And what it is doing is sending a mixed signal to people in the world and also people in the church, because they feel as if they can do whatever they want to do and they will still be saved. But the Bible is clear that sin will not arise a second time and no sin will enter the kingdom of God.
If you want to participate in the conversation this evening, give us a call at 325-5403, 325-5404, or 325-5405. Or those of you who live in the family advisory, give us a call toll free at 1-242-300-8255. Also, if you want to call in to participate in our little mini poll that we're having, call in to answer the question: do you believe in church and state separation? is a little mini poll that we are trying to run here. It's the same poll that we run on our website over the last 6 weeks. Brother Paul, as again in this country and to some extent in America, the majority of persons would say that they are Christian. Should the church not use this political power they have, if their members are voting, to help their members or to elect those politicians that would be favorable to their causes?
Brother Julian, that's a good question. You see, most of the ministers of the gospel, we have seen want the government to do what they think will help the cause. But the government is not called to preach the gospel. The government's job is to run the country. That's the job of the ministers of the gospel, to preach the gospel. And once the gospel is being preached to every man, woman, boy and girl, the government will know which way to turn, what to do and what not to do. But the problem is, are we preaching the gospel? Because if we were preaching the gospel, for example, I heard some people making a statement that when the PLP government was in power, they didn't do anything. And I said, if that is true, if the PLP government didn't do anything, I said, you're saying that they got paid for the 5 years and they didn't do nothing? I said, then if that is true, then the new government should investigate that and see what they can do to get that money back. If that is true. And I say, I don't think people understand that when they make this statement, God has taken it right now in every word that you speak. Every word is being recorded in the books of heaven. And if you're saying that the 5 years of the PLP government, they didn't do anything, that means when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to have to give the evidence. And if you don't have the evidence, if you don't repent, you're going to be lost. So we got to be careful here when we make these statements. As a matter of fact, God put the PLP government there. He moved them on the side. Now he has the FNM government there. He loved both parties. He wanted to save both parties. He also loved the BDM and the independents. He loved them all. And when the banquet table is spread before our Lord and Savior, he wants to serve them. As a matter of fact, he's going to be one doing the serving. And we're going to sit at his feet. And won't that be a wonderful thing that all PLPs, FNMs, BDMs, whatever the divide may be on, they can be in heaven. But they cannot be there if they're divided.
Let's go to the phone lines now. Go ahead, Exuma.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Did not Paul worship on the first day of the week?
Yes, he did.
And who know what the first day of the week was?
Oh, come on, my brother.
Hold on,
Let's go back. No. Sir. Let's do one question at a time. You said, how do we know the first day of the week?
Mm-hmm.
What source of information you want for that for that to be based on? If you check your dictionary, you'll see what the first day of the week. If you check your encyclopedia will tell you. If you don't believe that you have a calendar, you can look at the calendar. If you don't believe that, if you believe the Bible, which day did Christ raise on?
Huh?
Which day did Christ raise on?
What day did he raise on?
Yeah, what did he raise at the grave on? Which day?
The Bible said the first day too.
And what day does your church celebrate that day to be, sir?
They celebrate Sunday as the first day.
All right then, so you have all the evidence that you want in terms of what's the first day. If you don't believe that, you could check. A group of people have been keeping the Sabbath from Mount Sinai to up to this present day. And if you go to Israel, or if you go to North Miami, Chicago, New York, certain parts in the States, in the United States, you will find that there's a group of people who keep the seventh day from Mount Sinai. So there's no discrepancy on which day is the first day and the seventh day. And I believe, I don't know what church you belong to, but I believe if you go and do a search into your church, you will find out what they believe on which day is the first day and or the seventh day.
Well, you see, the reason why I asked the question, according to a man called before, was talking about Constantine and those.
Yeah.
See? That's why I call it ask the question.
Did you hear that before?
Because if we go back in Matthew, where Jesus went in the Samaria, and the woman went to question between them.
Question.
I know that we should exclaim higher than the other.
Jesus said that?
I said we should not exclaim no day higher than the other.
Are you sure? If you go to the creation story, the creation story began in Genesis chapter 1 and runs over to Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 to 3. You will see where on the creation story, on the first 6 days, God said it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. And when it came to the seventh, the Bible says he blessed it, he sanctified it, and he set it aside. So right there we see where Jesus, the example, who we all should follow, God, you saw that he did something special on the seventh day. And as a matter of fact, all Christian teachers will be honest with you and I will tell you that Saturday still is the Sabbath, but they come with a but. This is fulfillment of Daniel chapter 7 verse 20, and that's why these books are so important to be studying tonight. Daniel chapter 7 verse 25 says this, and at that time, and he shall think to change times and laws, and they shall be given this hand till time and dividing of times. And just like Daniel penned it, that prophecy has been played out and still being played out today, that they will think to change times and laws. Now, if you do our study, our research on the papacy system, better known as the Roman Catholic Church, what you will discover is that in the Roman Catholic Church system, they only have 9 commandments. They took out the second commandment. And the second commandment, they would bow down to images and idols and the popes and different things like that. And when you get to the 10th commandment, they have it divided in two. And when you get to the 4th commandment, it states, remember to keep holy the Sabbath day, full stop. So if you do your research, and the Roman Catholic Church is on the record asking all Protestants who are not Catholics, why do you keep Sunday? Give us some scripture to show why you keep Sunday. Because Sunday is our mark of authority. And here we are today, most people keep Sunday not having a clue of how it really came about. But the good news is, in your ignorance, God would wink. But tonight, based on information that's being shared, he's calling you now to go and research to see if this thing pans out to be true. And if it is, in the power of the Lord, he wants you to follow it. Did you ever hear this information before?
Hello? Okay.
Did you ever hear that information before?
Anybody?
Did you ever hear that information before, that how Sunday came up, the popular day of worship? Did you ever hear that before?
What's that?
That it was changed by the Roman Catholic Church. And Constantine. Yes, sir.
Well,
you can ask any Catholic priest, and he will tell you that we are telling you the truth. Hello?
Hello?
I think he's gone.
He's gone. Call if you have any questions on that particular question, caller from Exuma, you could give Turning Point a call at 322-6273. That's 322-673. That's the number to call us off the air. That's not a number for this afternoon on the air. So if you're still listening, you can call us off the air at 322-6273, and we could send some material to you in Exuma to help you understand that particular topic that you seem to have a little difficulty understanding.
You see, the question that he talks about, the Sabbath, you know, over 100 years ago, the Lord showed us through the study of the prophecies that the time will come when church and state will work together. And when it worked together, they will try to enforce Sunday as a day of rest. As a matter of fact, the late Pope, Pope John Paul II, in his Ecclesiastical letter called On Keeping the Lord's Day Holy, I think on point 67 of that document, you can find it on the internet, he said the time has come for us to go to our government leaders and get civil legislation to keep Sunday holy. But in the year May 21st, 1995, Father Leo Broderick wrote this in one of his pastoral letters. He says, perhaps the boldest thing and the most major change the church ever did happened in the first century. The holy day, the Sabbath day, was changed from Saturday to Sunday. The day of the Lord, Dies Domini, was chosen. Not from any direct note from the scriptures, he said, but from the church's sense of his own power. The day of the resurrection, the day of Pentecost, 50 days later, came on the first day of the week. So this would be known as the new Sabbath. And listen to this statement that he quoted in 1995, May 21. He said, and people who think the scripture should be the sole authority should largely become seven Adventists and keep the Sabbath day holy. And I say amen. He was quoting the scriptures. And he said, if you believe the Sabbath is the Sabbath, if you think the scriptures should be the sole authority, solo scripture, then you should largely become a seven Adventists and keep the Sabbath day holy. And there are a whole lot of stuff on this information on how this day came about. And you know, it might sound strange to you, but I'm telling you, all ministers of the gospel that we talk to all say Saturday is the Sabbath, but. And the question is, if Saturday is the Sabbath, then why are they not keeping it? Do you think God is going to wave some magical stick and still save them in their sins? You see, we must realize that God is not a liar. He loves us with an everlasting love. And he will do everything in his power to bring us to a knowledge of this truth. And this is the why week after week we come here by faith, to share with you the other side of the story. Not to tell you just the way we walk after us, but no, to let you study it for yourself. Because we realize we too would be held accountable if we try to mislead anybody at the end of time. And I ask you tonight to research these things about the Sabbath day, unclean foods according to Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. Search the scripture to find out what does God have for you and your family. I'll never forget one time, I called one of the call shows, and the host of the show asked me a question about one of our popular ministers we have here in the Bahamas. And he said, are you saying Minister so-and-so is leading us down the wrong path? And I said, yes. He said, no, that can't be. And he hanged upon me because he didn't believe I made such a statement. And what I was trying to tell him is, I'm not saying that the minister's lost, because I don't know what he knows. But if he know what I know, and he continues to do what he's doing, then he's in violation of the commandments of God. That Monday, following that show, a gentleman called from the family of Ireland, and he said, you know something, Mr. Host? If what that young man said is true, that means I'm lost, my wife lost, my daughter, and my son-in-law. He said for the whole weekend he was restless. And this is how serious it is, ladies and gentlemen. So tonight we invite you to do your research, to find out if these things are true or not, like the Bereans. And if they are, you might be the one the Lord can use to help turn the world upside down.
Brother Paul, the government has many laws, rules, and regulations. Are you saying that they should have no rules and regulations, let people do whatever they want to do, and we have total anarchy? Are you saying that?
No, Brother Julian. What I'm saying is that whatever the law the government brings upon the people, it must be a law that all of us believe that we should not steal, we should not kill, we should not walk around naked and all these sorts. There are some laws that are straight across the board. But anytime a law is going to be passed to take away your freedom of choice, especially when it comes to worship, this law always brings havoc. And prophecies reflect. In the days of the papacy system, the Roman Catholic system in the Dark Ages, they killed millions of people because they were going against it. They burned them at the stake. As a matter of fact, one minister said he went to a store the other day, and a young man in the front of the line told him, said, they should not have hanged Saddam Hussein. They should have burned Saddam Hussein at the stake. Do you know that's what happened to many Christian people during the Dark Ages? They were burned at the stake. They were burned at the stake because they didn't want to follow the counsel of the church. And they were burnt. And before Pope John Paul II died, he apologized to all those people that they killed. And I say, praise the Lord. He was able to come to them and say, yes, we were wrong. We should not have done that. And those people lost their lives. The good news is, they're going to rise again. As a matter of fact, in Revelation, the Bible says, they cried out to the Lord when they were persecuted. He said, how long, O Lord, should you have to wait before our blood is avenged? And Jesus said, until your fellow brothers also be killed. And as time will go on, people are going to be killed because they don't want to worship according to the rules of the church and the government. And when that takes place, it's going to be a time of trouble that was never was. And that time is not too far. As I speak tonight, I'm telling you, there are ministers of the gospel who are right now trying to enact laws around the world to force people to worship on Sunday, because they say that's the only way it's going to get better. We got to get people back in church. And how are we going to do it? We're going to legislate it. And if they don't do it, then they will be treated just like how it was in the days of the Blue Lord.
If you want to participate in our conversation this evening, give us a call at 325-5403, 325-5404, or 325-5405. Or for those of you in the family of islands, you can give us a call at 1-242-300-8255. That's 1-242-300-8255. Or you could help us in our little mini poll that we're trying to put together and just call in and answer the question asked. And the question we have this afternoon is, do you believe in church and state separation? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. If you participate in the poll, you don't have to go on the air. It's a call that only our producers will be able to hear, and you will not be on the air. Brother Paul, we see all these things happening in the world today. One of the things that we have been following, most of us, is the war in the Gulf. And we see that the American president made a statement saying that Al-Qaeda is the number one public enemy. Is Al-Qaeda truly the number one public enemy, Brother Paul?
No, Brother Julian. Public enemy number one is SIN, sin. As a matter of fact, you know, me and Brother Julian always do a survey when we meet Christian brothers and sisters and also pastors, and we'll ask them, what is the Bible definition of sin? And I'm telling you, if you try that poll tomorrow, you'll be surprised at how many people don't know what the Bible definition of sin is. They will never quote 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever commits sin, transgress also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And this is what Jesus came to stamp out sin. Because remember when John the Baptist, the one that was crying on the wilderness, said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And what is sin? Sin is the transgression of God's 10 commandments, Lord, as found in Exodus chapter 20. And we have met ministers of the gospel who would never tell us that. Because they realize once they quote 1 John 3, verse 4, then we can have more questions on what sin is. And when you think about people want to go against the commandment, this is also another prophecy predicted by Jesus. You read about this prophecy in Matthew chapter 5. There Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, in verse number 19, he says, And whosoever therefore, I'm quoting Matthew chapter 5 verse 19, and whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And here we are today, there are people teaching people, maybe ignorantly, to break the commandments of God. But if they are teaching them knowingly, what will be the end of them and those who follow them? Because in the same Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And this is why it's so important to ask yourself, are the members of Turning Point Ministry sharing with you the truth? And if they're not, give them a call. And let them know that you're preaching something that's going to cause people to be lost. This is what you should be teaching. And I assure you, we'll humble our poor hearts and we'll accept the truth. Because that's what we want. We want the truth. Because Jesus said you should know the truth and the truth should set you free. And there are many ministers that are on the radio. As a matter of fact, ever since we started dealing with radio ministry, I listen to this with every minister that comes on Sunday. And most of them speak the truth. But when we question them on why is it they keep Sunday, they don't have an answer. And if they do give an answer, they give an answer that is not biblical. For example, a caller just talked a little while ago about Paul worshiping on the first day of the week. Well, if you do a study on that scripture where Paul worshiped on the first day of the week, Paul was getting ready to depart on the following morning when the sun had rise. And what happened is, see, when the sun set, it's a new day. Now, here again, we get a concept that is being taught here that when it comes midnight, it's going to be Tuesday. But based on the Bible account, when the sun set, it is Tuesday. So right now, we are into Tuesday night. But most of us would say, you know, we're not into Tuesday, we are into Monday night. But according to the Bible account, in the creation story, we have the night, the morning, then the day. So we'll have Tuesday night, which should be tonight. Tomorrow morning, when we get up, it'll be Tuesday morning. And when the sun rises around midday also, it'll be Tuesday day. But no, we don't want to follow the Bible principle. We want to follow the principle that was laid out by us by men. And that's why we are confused. So Paul met with the people that day because he was getting ready to depart on that Sunday morning before sunrise. And when you read that account, this Bible said there were much lights there in the upper chamber where they were having their meetings. And that meeting went from Saturday sunset right into midnight. And early that morning, Paul departed on his trip.
But Paul, you mentioned the commandment. And I'm sure somebody's saying, here you go again with the commandments again. What is the significance of the commandments with the idea of church and state separation? Can you explain to people, what does the commandment have to do with church and state coming together or not coming together?
Well, the problem is, Brother Julian, the reason why most churches want to work with the government to the pastors is because people are breaking the laws. They're not only breaking the laws of the land, they're also breaking the laws of God. But most church ministers are concerned about the laws they break of the land, more than they're concerned about them breaking the laws of God. And because they are breaking the commandments of God, which also sometimes violate the laws of the land, this is why the commandments are so important. And the reason why there's not peace in the land is because people are breaking the commandments of God. Peace can only come if we are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. There's no way we can get peace no other type of way. And anytime we try to do away with the commandments of God, it always brings problems. The first time the commandments were breaking on earth was Adam and Eve. God told them, don't have no other gods before me. Automatically they break the first one. They listen to Satan instead of listen to Jesus Christ. And because of that, they had a problem. So today men are breaking the commandments of God. We have reached a time where we are calling evil good and good evil. We are calling righteous unrighteousness. And what are we reaping? We are reaping the whirlwind. And now today, people said, we don't want God to help us out. We want the government to help us out. And by all means, if the government don't do it, then we can fire them. we give this F&M government 5 years, and if they don't deal with it, if they don't hang those fellas on that rope, if they don't do what they're supposed to do, we're going to fire them. But it's not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. Our beloved Prime Minister, Mr. Hubert Ingham, he's not a minister of the gospel. He's a lawyer first by profession, and now the Lord has blessed him with leading our land. I don't know none of the ministers of the gospel on the F&M on part to be a minister of the gospel that are in the House of Assembly. Now, there's one I know that is in the Senate, the so-called Reverend Mark Alpine. But I call him the so-called Reverend because, you know, that name Reverend does not belong to mortal men like us. He can be a pastor, he can be a deacon, he can be an elder, he can be a bishop. But when it comes to a Reverend, that's a whole different ballgame all by itself. Because Psalms 111:9 says, Reverend and holy is God's name. He is the one that has to send redemption to his people. So that's the only person I know. And here again, you know, my heart goes out to him because he said he's going to try to see what he can do to help the government out to curb the things. But 5 years will pass God's will, and we'll be around. And I'm telling you, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Brother Paul, why, you said earlier, you talked about sin being public enemy number one. Why is sin public enemy number one?
Sin is public enemy. As a matter of fact, Brother Julian, in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the Bible tells that those who don't keep the commandments of God will not be able to enter the pearly gates. You read in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have a right to the tree of life, may enter into the gates into the city. The Apostle Paul even put it better than that. The Apostle Paul said, where there's no law, where there's no Ten Commandment law, there's no transgression. So if we don't want to keep the commandments of God, we're not going to enter into the gates. We're not going to eat of the tree of life. We're not going to enter in. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, the Bible says the only people the devil hates are those who keep the commandments of God. I'll read that for you, because a lot of you maybe never read that before. That's Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. It says, then the dragon. Who's the dragon? The dragon is the devil. You'll find it in Revelation chapter 12, the same chapter. In Revelation chapter 12, it tells us the dragon is the devil. You read that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. It says, calling the dragon the devil. So the text continues that the devil was wroth with the woman. The woman is the church, and went to make war with the remnant of the seed. Those last group of people. The word remnant means the last of the best. Of the seed. And who is mad with? Those who kept the commandments of God, not the testimony of Jesus Christ. So if you're not keeping the commandments of God, and if you're not in love with the testimony of Jesus Christ, the devil is not angry with you. You are on his ship. And he's going to do everything in his power to keep you on his ship, because he realized only those who have overcome all sin will be saved. And you read that in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. All the churches listed in Revelation 2 and 3 all had one requirement. All overcame. Not overcoming. They all overcame sin. And that was possible through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11.
Brother Paul, let's go to the phone lines. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, just me again, Andy. What I'd like to say to the man calling from Zero, all you need to do is tomorrow morning when you get up, if he is listening, take his Bible and go to his pastor and ask his pastor, and anyone who is listening to me can do the same, ask their pastor to show them from the Bible where they have the authority from God that they should worship on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Everybody wants the Judeo Christ, but they don't want Christ's Sabbath. They want their own Sabbath. The other church of the world who has changed the Sabbath appoints all Protestants to keep God's true Sabbath. And they said that if you say you're a Protestant, then you ought to keep the Sabbath and join the Adventist church. But they don't want to break away from the other church. They want to continue keeping the other church man-made law and disregards God's law. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and you do not those things what I say you ought to do? Lastly, I'd like to say to us all and to those who are pastors and who are desirous of entering the politics, God said you can't serve God and Mammon, and you can't have two masters. There only could be one you can serve. If I'm a pastor tonight and I'm a politician, be it the F&M or the PLP, and I was elected on either one of their sides, and the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, the Honorable Wright Hubert Ingham, called Parliament tomorrow morning to say we have to have an emergency meeting tomorrow morning It's Sabbath for me. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. It's a Sabbath. Must I go to the emergency meeting tomorrow and I'm the pastor of my church? Must I neglect my people? Go to the Prime Minister's meeting because it's an emergency on the Sabbath? Or should I go in the pulpit? For the man who is the Sunday keeper, if he's the pastor of his church, and the Prime Minister called an emergency meeting for Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the church building, should that pastor close up his church and go to the cabinet meeting with the Prime Minister, or should he go to the church? That's two leaders. Which one should he obey? God or the Honorable Right Prime Minister? I'm not meaning the Prime Minister per se, but any government. Who do we obey? Where do we draw the line? It is clear in the scriptures, God has a law, and no one can prove to anyone in this world from time immemorial where God has anything to do with the changes. And I'd like to say to the man in Eleuthera and Exuma, please turn your Bible right now to Hebrews chapter 4 and read the first 8 verses. And that will give you enough courage to go to your pastor right now or call him on the phone or go to look for him.
All right, caller.
And ask him to show you from the scripture where there has been a change in the Sabbath.
All right, caller.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you want to participate, we have only a couple of more minutes left. The telephone numbers are 325-5403, 325-5404, 325-5405. Or those of you in the family of Ivans, give us a call at 1-242-300-8255. Or you could participate in our poll, which says, do you believe in church and state separation? Just give us a call, and you don't have to participate in, you don't have to be on the air. You just have to give the producers the answer to that question of what you think. Brother Paul, we talked all afternoon about what is going to happen in church and state and so on and so forth. What should we be doing at this time as we prepare for this event to happen? What should we be doing right now as Christians and even non-Christians? What should we be doing?
We should be searching the scripture where we're going to be sure that we are in the faith. You know, this event that's going to come upon us, going to be coming upon us. The sad part about it is a lot of people don't realize what is coming upon them. And as a matter of fact, I was in one of the local power stores today, and I asked a question among the young men who were there arguing about the politics, and I said, if the government should pass a law tomorrow saying that everyone must go to church on Sunday, would you all be in agreement? And they all said yes. I said, if you don't do it, how you feel as if they should be killed? Well, I can't remember they give an answer to that, but they all were in agreement and let's do this. But is Sunday the seventh day, or is it the first day? You see, I would never go to the government and try to, as a matter of fact, I can go to the court tomorrow with a lawyer and have the government pass a law that all stores can be closed on Saturday based on the facts. And what am I going to use? I'm going to use church history, world history, and most of all, the Bible. And I'm sure if the government allowed me to use those three factors, and the court being a court of justice, and I believe they will hear what I have to say, that may all stores be closed on here on Saturday. But why would I do it? Because I love my fellow man just as I love myself. I can give them freedom of religion, freedom of choice. But that's not what happened for those who keep the Sabbath. Like I said earlier, there are ministers of the gospel who are pushing for stores to not be open a little bit wider on Sunday. Do they really love us as Seventh Adventists as they love themselves? Or are they only thinking about themselves? Should not we as Seventh Adventists go to the court and petition the court to shut down everything on Saturday based on the facts? And we have everything on our side. But no, we would not do that. Why? Because we believe in freedom of choice, freedom of religion for all. And because men are transgressing the commandments of God, because men are doing what they want to do, there's a woe resting upon them. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18, it says, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as they were with a cord of rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that he may see it, and let the counselor of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. And verse 20 says, and woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We are in the day, ladies and gentlemen, and woe to him that are wise in his own eyes and prudent in his own sight, and woe unto him that are mighty to drink wine, and the men that strengthen to mingle strong drink. We are in that time when people are putting darkness for light and light for darkness. If Saturday is the seventh day, and we have people worshiping on Sunday the first day, is God divided? Is the 2 days orchestrated by God? Something is definitely wrong here. The Bible says two cannot work together unless they agree. And what are ministers of the gospel doing to cover this up? They came up with a concept called the ecumenical movement. There was a time when no church minister used to cross in each other's pulpit. Now today they are crossing each other's pulpit. They say, let's come together, let's bury our differences. No sheep stealing. And at the end of the day, God will sort us out. They are right. God will sort us out. But the only ones that are going to be on the Lord's side are those who are doing the will of the Lord.
Brother Paul, somebody I'm sure is saying right now, Brother Paul, Brother Miller, there are a lot of different church organizations around town. There are a lot of different interpretation of these scriptures that you talk about. Why should I believe you? Why should I believe what Turning Point is saying right now? Why should I believe what Brother Paul Miller is saying to the nation right now? Why?
First of all, Brother Julian, there may be many interpretations out there, but there's only one true interpretation. The Bible is quite clear that the gospel, the scriptures are not any private interpretation. Men are privately interpreting the Bible and won't allow the Bible to interpret itself. If you would allow the Bible to interpret itself, then we will be able to be on one accord. But we want to bury the scriptures and come together on one accord under the guise of the ecumenical movement. And that's why when we have the independent programs or the other functions that the government brings, you see ministers from all cross sections at the venue. If I was invited to speak to the nation at a venue like that, you think they will want me to tell the people the truth? You think they will give me an opportunity to turn to the Bible, let's hear what the Bible have to say? I dare not say yes. I don't think they will invite me, because they know that when I come, I'm not going to come with how I think and how I feel, and I'm going to open the floor for questions. I'm not just going to shoot things at them. See, Revelation 17 verse 5 is being fulfilled tonight. And upon her head was written in Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And I saw her and I wondered with great admiration. Revelation chapter 7 verse 6. So John the Revelator saw the woman, the mother of harlots. If she was the mother, who were the daughters? Are you one of the daughters? If you should do a history check, ladies and gentlemen, all churches that are not Roman Catholic churches, if they backtrack, they will all end right back up into the Roman Catholic Church. But one, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is not a branch of the Roman Catholic Church. Many might try to say that. And that's why the Roman Catholic Church is on the record saying, if you're going to go by the Bible and the Bible only, you should become a Seventh-day Adventist. They realize that we are following the Bible and the Bible only. But they say, if you don't want to go by the Bible, then come back to us. And as we speak, the now ruling Pope, Ratzinger, is on the move to invite everybody to come back home. And where does he want them to come back? Into the fold of the Roman Catholic Church. And that is being fulfilled tonight. Just do your research. And I assure you will find it just like I'm telling you tonight. And most ministers of the God, as a matter of fact, a few years ago, a minister wrote a document called, Are We Being Led Back to Rome? His name is Dr. Ed DeVaris. And he lists a bunch of ministers of the gospel who once used to protest against the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church and who are not feeling that way anymore. And here we are today, Bible prophecies being fulfilled. Some of the top name evangelists that we dearly love are saying the Roman Catholic Church now is a church we can trust. Let's go back home. But what are we going back home to? Are we going back to the truth, or are we just going back to mystical things? Ladies and gentlemen, time is running out. And I plead with you tonight, pick up your Bibles, as me and Brother Julian pick up our Bibles from time to time, and search and study the scriptures for yourself. God loves you. He loves Roman Catholics, He loves Baptists, Anglican, Methodists, whatever persuasion you might be. He loves all of us with an everlasting love. And I assure you, He will not let you rest until you have heard the truth and nothing but the truth. Because He is assured that once your truth is shared, He will set you free. That's His job. And we invite you tonight to search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Search the prophecies of your church. Search the historical book to see what it is you are following. And ask yourself, if Jesus was to come to town today, would He be a member of your church?
But, Brother Paul, the question we asked at the beginning of the show, church and state, should they unite? Religious liberty, what say you? My question, my last question this afternoon is, church and state, should they unite? What say you?
No, Brother Julian, they should not unite. They should remain separate, just like Jesus left it when he walked among men. He said, the government must do its job and the church must do its job. Yes, the government can come and get spiritual direction from the church, and the church can offer spiritual direction to the government, but it's based on, not on force, but on advice, like Daniel did in his day, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in their day. They never tried to force the government. As a matter of fact, in the days of Daniel, those who work along with Daniel caused Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den. But praise God, the Lord was able to shut the lion's mouth, and Daniel was delivered. And those men who caused Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den, the prophecy says that those who were thrown into the lion's den, they were eaten by the lions. Then we have the prophecy when Nebuchadnezzar set up the ruins of Babylon. He set up the ruins of Babylon, and he said, I'm gonna create an image. I'm going to create an image, and I want everyone to come and bow down before the image. And we know the story. When the music was played, everyone bowed down but three boys. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And ladies and gentlemen, today, that's the type of people Jesus is looking for. Those who are willing to die or do the heavens fall. Those who are willing to be counted. Even if it means they must lose their lives. And as the story went on with the three Hebrew boys, as Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire, he said, did not we throw three young men in there? He said, below, I see another one. And it looks like the Son of God. That's who it was. It was Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. And tonight I tell you, Jesus is asking us to forsake all, that he may be glorified. Are you willing to forsake all today? Are you willing to live for the King? It's going to take faith. It's going to take power. It's going to take fortitude. It's going to take everything you got. And I assure you, Jesus will deliver you like he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and yea, even Daniel.
We are at the end of another Turning Point Presents. If you have any comments or questions concerning our program, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org. Please note that the comments made by Turning Point does not reflect ZNS, sponsors, or management, or nothing. It's just based on Brother Miller and Brother Miller's interpretation and study of the scriptures. Thank you very much. Let us pray before we go off the air. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O God, for the opportunity that you brought us to this point this evening. Lord, we ask you to give us the power and the strength to study your word, that we could see that these things are true. And help us that if we find that they are true, to give us the power and the strength to move in that direction, that we will be ready for when you come in the clouds. It's our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, we'd like to thank our producers. We'd like to thank Sister Margaret Elizabeth, also Sister Thelma Evans, and also we'd like to thank Brother Cullen Kirk. He was able to get all these technical difficulties sorted out, and also another young man, he had ZNS, were able to allow the Lord to let them use their technology in order to get this thing sorted out for us tonight. Once again, we hope that the Lord Jesus Christ is uplifted, and we'd like to thank all the ZNS staff to put this forward. And most of all, I thank God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and you, our listening audience. Until next time, may the peace of God continue with your family. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.
This is AM 1540, the National Voice of the Bahamas. You've been listening to the program Turning Point with host Paul Miller and Julian Miller. Manning the telephones has been Thelma Evans.